Going on, Black Wolf? What's good with you? Said wide awake. I know that's right. I know that's right. Appreciate the cash app, Black Wolf. Said, sorry for how they treated you. Oh man, you ain't gotta apologize for that. That wasn't your fault. You ain't gotta apologize for that. That definitely wasn't your fault. But it's not surprising. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens. That's the prime example why you don't see me doing panels. That's why I don't really do panels like that. That's why I don't really do panels. Because if you notice, when I first went in there, and we first, that's how it usually goes though. When I first go in there and we first start having a conversation, it always starts out as a cool conversation. It always starts out as a productive conversation. And then it always ends up going, left every time, But one reason why I went live this morning is so I can get my thoughts out without being interrupted. Without people talking over me, without goofiness, and all of that stupid stuff. But like I said before, man, like I try to still go on people's shows, you feel what I'm saying, that I'm cool with. But ultimately, what's gonna end up happening is I'm gonna end up not going on anybody's panels because it always ends up going the same way. It always ends up going the same way. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but whenever I'm making a valid point, that's when everything always goes left. That's when people start talking over you. That's when people start throwing shaming tactics. That's when everything gets goofy. But the main thing that I want to talk about is I want to talk about something that happened towards the end that is typical and indicative of the quote unquote community. And I gotta point it out. I was gonna try to point it out because by the time we got to that part of it, I just was over it. Like I just was completely over the whole thing. What's going on, Sheila? Just was completely over the whole thing. But I want to point out something extremely important that most people probably wasn't even paying any attention to. Which is why I've titled this, If Politics Ain't Important, Why Are You Complaining? If politics ain't important, what's going on, Kendra? Good morning. If politics ain't important, what's the point of complaining? It's too dark. But same as always, man. Y'all already know what it is, man. Make sure you support the channel, which is now called The Street Conservative. And I do believe that this is going to be the name of the channel into, you know, perpetuity. I sincerely doubt I'll change it again. Same thing with Boss Talk Radio. I sincerely doubt I'll change the name again. But make sure you support the channel. You can do so by going to Cash App, $TheAngryMan. Make the Cash App ring during the stream. Or if you have a question, comment, or statement you would like me to read out loud, you can put that in Super Chat. I will read it out loud. I will answer your question. You already know what it is, man. But what's going on, Aqua? And my bad, fam. Ray told me that it wasn't you that interrupted me, so my apologies. I need 10 people to hit the Cash App, support the show, before we get into this. I don't know how long this is going to be. It's going to be a ramble slash rant. But I want to point out a really big thing. Like, so we start out having a really good conversation. The conversation ends up going left when we start talking about politics. Now, the problem with politics, especially when you're having a discussion amongst Black folk, is most Black folk are not informed. Some are. Some have some of the story. So you got some Black folks that don't know nothing about politics. Then you have other Black folks that know a little bit about politics. And then you have some Black folks that know a lot about politics. There's always a very small percentage of Black people who know a lot about politics. The large number of Black people usually don't know anything about politics. Now, the problem with any political discussion when it comes to having the conversation with Black folks is Black folks do not want to acknowledge facts. So it's kind of difficult to have a discussion about politics when Black folks don't want to acknowledge facts. Like, you literally, we literally had a brother on the panel that said he was working in the White House. Now, think about this for a second. He said that a couple of times, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but when he said that, nobody stopped, like, hold on, wait a minute. He said he worked in the White House. Let's listen to what he has to say. You notice nobody said that, right? Black Wolf said, it does not matter that President Trump supported the crime bill when he is running against the man who wrote the damn bill. It's apples and oranges. Yeah, and see, that was the thing. Like, bringing up that point was irrelevant for the simple fact that what Donald Trump did back in the day is not as important as what Joe Biden did back in the day. It doesn't hold as much weight because when Joe Biden did what he did, he was in public office. He actually was a mover and shaker. He actually could affect legislation. Donald Trump couldn't affect legislation back in the day. You see what I'm saying? But see, we can't really have these sort of logical discussions during panels because everything that Negroes want to talk about, they want to keep it in the realm of pettiness. They want to keep it in the realm of feelings. They want to keep it in the realm of rumors and hearsay. They don't want to acknowledge the facts, right? So you can't have a discussion with black folks about politics because you're dealing with a group of people who do not respect facts. They do not respect facts. They don't respect facts. They don't respect data. You feel what I'm saying? They don't respect any of that. So when you start laying out data and you start laying out facts, it's like I'll give you a prime example. Prime example is I was before I came on the panel, I had did a Facebook Live where I was talking about politics, and one of my cousins was in the chat room. And we were going back and forth about Trump. And he asked me, well, what about the Proud Boys? And this is what they always do with the whole thing with Trump. It's the same thing that was being done to me on that panel. Well, what about him supporting the crime bill? It's always something that has absolutely nothing to do with his presidential policy, what he's doing right now. So my cousin was like, what about the Proud Boys? And I'm like, what about the Proud Boys, right? And he's like, oh, you ducking the question just like 45. And I'm like, I'm not ducking the question. I'm trying to figure out what you're asking me. So, well, what about the Proud Boys? What about his affiliation with them? I said, I don't know if he's affiliated with them or not. I said, what I do know is that he's denounced, white supremacy. He's denounced the KKK. He's denounced all of these people. And I was like, yo, I can pull up the video, right, to prove it. And of course, my cousin was like, pull it up. And the reason why is because he hasn't seen the video, like the average black person. They don't do the research, right? So I pulled the video up while I was on the live and played it. Now, here's where we get into the realm of fact versus fiction versus speculation. Someone says to me, Donald Trump has never denounced these hate groups. Now, that is them saying that as a matter of fact. I say to them, no, that's incorrect. That's incorrect, right? I say to them, he has denounced all of these groups, right? So the person then says, prove it. So this means that the person believes that what they just said was a fact. You know it's not a fact, so you say to them, it's not a fact. Right? So they say to you, prove it. So then you go and prove it. You come back with the facts because keep in mind, the original statement was that he never did XYZ. So you go get the proof that he did do XYZ. So you're saying he didn't denounce these groups. You go get the proof and bring it back. You know what my cousin said to me when I played it? I played it on the computer. I showed him the video and I played the sound where he could hear it. You know what he said? How many of you can guess what my cousin said? Who can guess? Thank you, Torrance V. He said something similar to that. He said this dude would be really good in Hollywood. He said this dude would be really good in Hollywood. And that's to imply that he's lying or he didn't mean it. But you got to keep in mind the original premise of what was said was that he didn't do XYZ. So then when I show the person that he did do XYZ, now we got to move the goalposts because we don't want to be wrong about this person because we have an agenda to dislike this person. So when it comes to politics, you can't have a discussion with black people because black people love to move the goalposts. Black people hate to admit when they are wrong. Right? This is the reason why you don't see a large number of black people going into political science. You don't see a large number of black people going into science. You don't see a large number of black people going into anything that deals with hard, definite facts and numbers. You don't see that. So, anytime you raise a point, they're going to figure out some kind of way to make you wrong, right? So, you can't even have a political discussion. And this is the reason why, whenever you see news media pundits and these different people, the vast majority of them are always non-black, right? So we're having this discussion, and we start getting into the back and forth arguing or whatever. And I don't know if you noticed, but every single time I was trying to raise a valid point, then all of a sudden we get the I'm gonna talk over him. I'm gonna interrupt him. I'm gonna and see, that's another tactic that Negroes use. See, you gotta realize they're not over talking you because they're eager to get their point out. They're not over talking you because they think that what they're saying is right. They're over talking you because they're trying to drown out what you're saying. Because they don't want to hear what you're saying. Because if I want to believe a certain narrative, the last thing I need is for you to say something that's gonna bust up that narrative. It's the equivalent of a kid doing like this. La 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 la. I can't hear you. La 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 la. That's what that is. That's why you'll see individuals talking over you because they're trying to drown out what you're saying because they don't want to hear it. Because if they hear it, they'll have to acknowledge it and they'll have to weigh it into what they're thinking. I'm telling you, the cognitive dissonance amongst black people is ridiculous, right? So then, the moment that the conversation gets to that point, right? And I'm already, and y'all gotta forgive me, I'm a little drained mentally, right? Because that type of shit is mentally draining. Is very mentally draining, right? So y'all forgive me. I lost my train of thought. Oh. So you got these dudes arguing, going back and forth. And so then you have one person change the subject to sports. right? So as they're talking about sports and this, that, and third, all of a sudden you hear black folks start to say stuff like, I don't really care about the election, no way, because that doesn't affect my life. I don't really care about politics, no way, because I still gotta go out here and live my life. I still gotta do this. I still gotta do that. That don't affect me, no way. And that's when you heard me say, before I got interrupted, I said, I'm out, yo, because I'm not gonna do this ignorant ninja-ish. I'm not even gonna do this. I'm not gonna do this. And the reason why I said that I'm not gonna do this is because the same black people that will say the presidential election isn't important, that will say that politics isn't important, that will say none of that matters, right? These are the same individuals that'll be the first ones complaining when a George Floyd situation happens. They'll be the first ones complaining when they lose a job. They'll be the first ones complaining when they can't find a job. They'll be the first ones complaining when, they get pulled over by the police or, something like that. They'll be the first ones complaining. And it's like, how can you walk around complaining about racial injustice? Complaining about low wages, complaining about poor education, complaining about all of these different situations, but simultaneously will think that politics is not important. Was it or was it not Dr. Claude Anderson that said that when it comes to power, power is a five-story building. He said the first floor is group economics. He said the second floor, right after you practice group economics, is politics. And then the third floor is, law. The third floor is the court system. Fourth floor is media. Fifth floor is education. See, I'm starting to realize that black people don't really understand how the United States works. They don't understand. You literally had a guy on the panel saying to me that me thinking that I'm making more money because of Donald Trump or because of the president or because of the government is ridiculous. He thinks that the economy has absolutely nothing to do with my business. Just think about that for a second. Just take a small moment to think about that. Black Wolf said you were Ice Cube talking to that Black Lives Matter chick in that moment. True. But just think about that for a moment. No, I didn't see what you super chatted, Ray. What did you super chat? I didn't see what you super chatted. I mean, they really don't understand how the world works. They don't understand how it operates. Like, they truly believe that as black people, they live in this country separated from that whole system. They truly believe they live in this country completely autonomous from, the government and all of that. Ray said, I said, I have a business and how it works. If my customers are struggling because of the economy, I'm going to struggle. It's facts. That's facts. But see, I'm going to tell you the only time, look, I'm going to keep it all the way funky with you. Keep it all the way funky with you. The only people out here right now that will say out of their mouth, because see, you gotta realize, people don't realize the stuff they say exposes them. It exposes them for who they really are. And all you gotta do is really think about it and you can put two and two together, right? Ty Savage, appreciate you. You said appreciate the content, AM. You gotta think about it like this. If you're say if you're making a statement like, oh well, what Trump does and what the government does, that doesn't affect you financially. The only people that can say that are people that either work 9 to 5s or on people that work 9 to 5s, people that get disability, or people that are unemployed. Those are the only people that can say it doesn't affect them. And it's not because it doesn't, it's because from their perspective, it doesn't. See, if you work a 9 to 5, you're not affected by the economy or the market or things of that nature, because if you have a job, you're getting a paycheck. You don't know what your company is going through financially. You don't know how they're being affected by the economy. You don't know any of that. The only way you'll know is if the company goes out of business. If it doesn't go out of business, you good. So it wouldn't affect you. Not from your perspective. It does affect you because if you work for a company and you have a 401k, your 401k is affected by the market. It's affected by the economy. It's affected by the stock market. But they don't know that. They don't realize that. It's just like when they were having the debate and, President Trump said, if I get elected, the stock market is going to go up. If Joe gets elected, it's going to crash. And Joe Biden said, people who come from such and such Pennsylvania, they don't live off of the stock market. That was a stupid statement, especially for a man who is as old as he is, especially for a man who is in politics, especially for a man who is supposed to be a businessman. That is a dumb statement. Because whether or not you invest in the stock market doesn't matter. If you work a 9 to 5 and you work for a company, that company is affected by the market. Your 401k is affected by the market. Your health insurance rate with that company is affected by the market. Everything is interconnected. No man is an island unto himself. There's no separation. Everything is connected. You're going to feel it sooner or later. You might not feel it as fast as everybody else. You may not feel the economic effects as fast as somebody who owns a business, but you're going to feel it because it's going to trickle down. Whatever your business, whatever your boss, your business owner goes through, you're going to go through it. This is where downsizing comes from. Why don't these people understand? Am I expecting too much? Is that really what it is? Like, am I expecting too much out of these ninjas? Is that really what it is? Like, have I overestimated their intelligence? See, I can feel what happens in the market. Because if the American economy is doing good, I will do good. If it's doing bad, I'll do bad. And the reason why I know this and I feel this is because, Tyrone, appreciate the membership. The reason why I know this is because I have been an entrepreneur for most of my life. I've been an entrepreneur more than I've been a 9 to 5 worker. So when the economy's doing good, I make more money because people have more money to spend with me. When the economy's doing bad, I make less money because people don't have the money to spend, right? The other goofy part of it is, I'm sorry. I'm just at a loss for words. Like I'm at a loss for words because I cannot believe the level of stupidity. I just can't believe it. It's mind-boggling. Like it is literally mind-boggling. Like I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's just like, when a certain individual said to me, "Well, if you look at Trump's business ventures and you look at, his holdings and his businesses, you'll find out that he's not a good businessman. He's failed more than he's succeeded." And when I hear black people say stuff like that, right? When I hear black people say stuff like, "He's failed more than he's succeeded. He had to file bankruptcy." All it tells me is that you have never tried to own a business. That's all it tells me. All it tells me, anytime I hear that out of a black person's mouth, it lets me know that they have never ran a business. They've never attempted to run a business. And you got to think, Donald Trump is one of the rich elite. He's not individually running those businesses himself. That's the other thing that people don't realize. You're talking about a guy who has multinational corporations. You think he's running all of those businesses himself? You think he's doing the books on all of those businesses himself? And then you're saying, oh, well, he's not successful. Oh, really? Oh, really? Go to New York and go to Trump Plaza. And then tell me again that he's not successful. This is why this country does not take black people seriously. Yeah, that's the other thing. He's not successful, but he became the president. Like he was able to get elected to the highest office of the land. Right? He was able to get elected from the highest office of the land. But he's not successful. And right now at this moment, he's worth $2.5 billion. How do you become worth $2.5 billion and not be successful? Can somebody answer that question for me? How can you be worth $2.5 billion and become the president of the United States and not be considered successful? Let me tell you something. Joe Biden wasn't worth anything when he first started running for public office. And after 47 years of scheming, conniving, doing dirt, and all of this stuff, you know how much Joe Biden is worth right now? You know how much he's worth right now as we speak? It's worth $9 million. He's worth $9 million. Trump makes him look like a joke financially. Financially. But you got people talking about some, oh, well, if you look at his holdings and you look at his businesses, then he's not really a successful businessman. See, the only way you would think that, if you look at any of his businesses that failed, right? You have to point out the fact that, okay, let's state a couple of facts. One, any business that you start, the first 9 months of that business, the first 9 months to a year of that business, or the first 2 years of that business is going to determine whether or not that business is going to be successful. How many businesses fail within the first 2 years? Do y'all know? Does anybody know? What percentage of businesses fail in the first 2 years? ~85 to 90% of all businesses fail in the first 2 years. Now let's do some math. Let's crunch some numbers. Let's look at the facts. If you start one business, if you start one business, right? Based on those numbers, based on the numbers of 85 to 90% of all new businesses fail in the first 2 years. If you look at those numbers, if you started a business, one business, and I started 10, you started one business that you micromanage. I started 10 that I delegate the responsibilities to my employees to run those businesses. Manager, business managers, accountants, lawyers. Who has the highest odds of having failing businesses? The person that has 10 or the person that has one? Person running 10. It's very simple. The person is running 10. So just by sheer volume, Trump is increasing his odds of his businesses failing because he's opening more. But see, that's what you do when you have access to that kind of capital. When you got access to that type of capital, you start a business, you put money in it. If it fails, you take it as a loss and you move on to the next business. There's even companies. How many of you guys remember the movie? How many of you guys remember the movie Pretty Woman? How many of y'all remember the movie Pretty Woman? With Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. In that movie, Richard Gere, what he did for a living is he bought failing corporations and then he would break them apart and sell them off, sell off pieces of the corporation. In other words, there's a whole cottage industry around buying failing businesses and then basically selling them off bit by bit, piece by piece. That type of industry wouldn't even exist if the average businessman was always successful. You're talking about a country that is one of the most capitalistic countries in the world. See, we live in this country, so we never really think about it, but this country is fiercely competitive when it comes to business. When it comes to business, you got to be a shrewd, ruthless businessman in order to get to millions, much less billions. But when I listen to these conversations, I listen to these black folks repeating talking points they hear on the news, repeating talking points that they hear from news pundits and talking heads. And I'll be thinking to myself, that's not even your original thought. That's some shit you heard somebody else say. And then you repeating it, pawning it off as if it's your own. And based upon the way you're saying it, see, here's the thing. when you repeat something that was said by Wolf Blitzer on freaking CNN, or you repeat something that was said by Tucker Carlson on Fox News, that's not where I ascertain, excuse me, that's not where I make my assessment about your understanding and comprehension. What I do is I sit back and I wait and I listen until you say something that I know is original. I wait and listen until I hear you say something that is your own original thought. And then I listen for what it is. See, when somebody says something like, well, if you look at his businesses, you'll see that he's not a successful businessman as you think he is. See, that's your original thought. But it's the thought that's coming from a person who's never ran a bunch of multinational businesses. So already you're in bad shape because you're speaking about something you have no experience in and you have no idea what you're talking about. But this is what ninjas do all day, every day. This is what they do. Excuse me, my bad. Multi-international businesses, my bad. Theo said, AM, you are wasting your time. They are the same people that will say YouTube is free and people should not be asking for money on. Yeah. You're right. But see, I should know better. I should have never even went over there to have no conversation in the first place. And I feel it makes me feel bad that I'm saying that because, you know, I like exactly mergers and acquisitions. I like CUDA, but in all honesty, I shouldn't even been over there going back and forth. I should have been somewhere asleep. You feel me? As tired as I am right now and as much as I'm mentally drained, I should have been somewhere asleep. I shouldn't even been over there going back and forth with Negroes. Like, I got to get to the point where I operate the way my uncle operates. My uncle would never argue with no Negroes about nothing. You feel what I'm saying? I got to stop doing that. I got to stop. Because these Negroes, they be saying stuff, boy, woo wee. Like, I'll be listening. I'll be like, wow, did he really just say that? Did he really just say that? And it's like, here's the other thing, too, that really disturbs me. So my man Black Wolf, you know, I think he sent, I think Black Wolf actually sent, I think Black Wolf actually sent Bernard Riley a Cash App because he wanted Bernard Riley to interview me about politics, right? And so right now at this moment, if I'm not mistaken, I think Bernard Riley's largest I think the video that he has, appreciate you said, he said, great show with Riley. I think the largest viewed video that he has is like 11,000 views, right? I think it's like 11,000 views. Matter of fact, let me look. Let's see. Alright, so go to channel and videos is sort by most popular. Okay, so I was wrong. He has his largest viewed video is Derek Jackson versus reality response video, which is 3 minutes. That one's like 15K. His second largest video is the Allen Roger Curry and C Boogie versus Obsidian. So it's him, Allen Roger Curry, C Boogie, and Obsidian on one video. His third largest is my video. My interview, the first interview, which is like sitting right at 8,900. It's almost at 9K. Yeah, it's almost at 9K. It's almost at 9K. And I don't see the other one. I don't think that one's posted up there yet. Well, no, the other one is at 9.1. So both the streams I did with him are at 9,000 views. Both the joints I did with him are at 9,000 views. So why am I pointing that out? See, Black Wolf said, "No, Angry Man, you had 600 viewers throughout the entire stream and it's climbing faster than normal." Oh, well, yeah, I probably did have the largest live viewers watching. But why am I pointing this out? I'm pointing it out because I don't have to get on no panels and go back and forth with nobody. That's number one. And number two, if I really didn't know what I'm talking about, how am I able to command such a large audience? How? How is that possible? How is it possible that I can command such a large audience? How is it I can go to somebody else's channel to do an interview and the numbers, like, and get the same numbers I get on my channel? That's value. That's value. How am I able to do that if I don't know what I'm talking about? How? It's just like right now, we would have way more people watching if it wasn't so freaking early in the morning. People ain't used to me being live this time of day. Shoot, not if you've been paying attention to me and watching me for the past couple of years, you know I don't go live this time of morning. I just don't. Let's see. Daryl said $15 hour national minimum wage. You can be cut down to 24 hours a week from 38 to 40 hours. The hours are more important than the dollars in the overall situation. You would be making less than $10 than someone at $10 an hour. That's facts. That's facts. That's facts. That's facts. But like, you got guys that's telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And if Bernard Riley was the interview, you're talking about an interview where it's just me and Bernard Riley. There isn't a bunch of people on the panel. There isn't a bunch of people on the show. It's just me and him. It's just me and him having a conversation. If Bernard Riley was to ask other individuals to do a one-on-one with him, they're not going to get those kind of numbers unless it's somebody that, has more viewers than me and more notoriety than me. But the guys that you hear telling me I don't know what I'm talking about, if he was to interview them, He probably wouldn't even be able to get 400 live viewers because they're not going to show up to watch the person he's interviewing. Or take it a step further, let's say the person that's telling me I don't know what I'm talking about, if they were to just start their own channel and go live, ain't nobody going to watch it. Like they might be able to get, let me not say that because I don't know. I don't know. If it's individuals that don't have channels yet, I don't know what they're gonna do. But I just find it interesting that you have guys telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And it's like, bruh, if I didn't know what I was talking about, how am I able to get a large audience? How am I able to get people to watch me? Off of the strength of, because let's be honest, I'm not doing no gimmicks. I'm not over here tap dancing. I'm not over here juggling. I'm not over here telling jokes. I'm not over here doing comedy skits. I'm over here having talk radio style conversations. I'm over here having NPR style conversations. So the only thing that's going to attract you to me while I'm doing my content is whether or not I'm well informed, whether or not I'm actually telling you something that you find to be valuable. How? How am I able to command a large audience if I don't know what I'm talking about? And I'm just sitting here looking at the cliche BS that we do as black people. It's, yo. I don't know. Look, I'm about to get up out of here and I'm about to go to sleep because this whole situation is making my head hurt. This whole situation is making my freaking dome hurt. It's making my freaking. I'm about to go to sleep, man. And like I said, I didn't do a boss talk last night, so I'll give you guys a boss talk later on tonight. Shout out to Lone Revolver. Appreciate you. Shout out to Noble Tyrant. He said, morning, bro. Appreciate you. Shout out to Ray. He said, thanks for staying on topic over there. No doubt. Shout out to Michael. He says, small thing to a giant. Double M. No doubt. Shout out to Anwar. He said, for Trump. He said, Trump got first loan from his daddy. I mean, that's not. And? What that mean? What that mean? I mean, I know you're joking, but that mean you gotta start somewhere. It would the only messed up thing about that is that we a lot of times we're not in a position to get a loan from our pops. You feel what I'm saying? That's the only messed up thing about that. The only messed up thing about that is most of us as black people, we can't even get a loan from our pops. You feel me? So, I mean, it is what it is, man. But like I said, at the end of the day, I worry about results, man. If he's doing what he's supposed to do for the country, that's all I really care about. But these Negroes, they in their feelings because they want him to be likable. They want him to be the type of dude that's gonna invite them over for dinner. They want him to be the type of dude they can, you know, they can sit on the White House lawn with and have a beer. You feel what I'm saying? That's the type of goofy stuff that black folks fall for. Ebo Sosa said, yo, AM. Might be wise to chill sometimes. I haven't talked to my father now for 2 weeks after a 2 day argument about political stuff. It's really useless to talk to people who ain't informed. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But anyway, man, I'm gonna get up out of here. I'll probably be back later on tonight, so y'all be looking out for me after I get me some rest. Get my mind right, get my mind rested so that I can be sharp You know. Chill. I'm gonna holler at y'all later. Deuces.